All right, so I'm done looking for what I'm looking for. We're going to get to some okay, here we go. Here we go. All right, so I've been So here we go. Breaking news. All righty. So Antonio Brown, I don't give this guy the benefit of any doubt. I don't. And you know what? If I'm wrong for that, so be it. But the dude, history says, don't give him the benefit of the doubt. Prove your argument. So this just came out, and I'm on ESPN from Jenna Lane. She's the ESPN reporter for the NFC South. And Antonio Brown released a lengthy statement, tells his side of the story. Bro, I don't want to know your side of the story. Honestly, I don't. I played sports all my life. High school, middle school, college, rec league. I ain't never just walked out of my boys while they was in the middle of a game, win or lose. So I think Antonio Brown people are playing a little bit of damage control because they're trying to save face here. Maybe there's some money that he's owed that, you know, they would have to pay him out. I'm not sure. But it's always been something to think about. So, lengthy statement from AB, and I'm going to see if I I'm going to see if what I'm thinking is confirmed. So she spoke for the first time since leaving the game against the Jets. And before I go into this, I know a lot of Buccaneers fans that actually traveled to New York. So things ain't adding up. You know, it ain't adding up. So he had an MRI on Monday. And Monday revealed broken bone fragments, a ligament torn from the bone, and cartilage loss. Brown has accused the Buccaneers of mischaracterizing his outbursts on the field as a as a mental health issue rather than a refusal to play due to pain. Now, I'm going to read some more, but we've watched football a long time, folks. And when a player is hurt or being observed for a new injury, a re-aggravated injury, whatever that case may be, that player then goes underneath the blue tent, the tarp, and he is re-evaluated there. And when they come out of that tarp, the leaders usually have a explanation of, you know, what's going on with that particular player. So Buccaneers have mischaracterized his outburst on this field as a mental health issue rather than a refusal to play due to pain. Now, if you refuse to play due to pain, would you be hopping and skipping along the yellow brick road like you are? Because I know I wouldn't. But say the Bucs did not have any immediate comment to Brown's statement when reached later on tonight. But Brown was on the field for 26 plays. He exited the game Before his exit Sunday games in New Jersey, he was upset on the sideline. We knew all that. We don't need I need new information. After the game, Bruce Arians declined having knowledge that Brown was injured. Now, reading that quote, a lot of y'all saying, well, he came into the game injured. He missed practices during that week because he was injured. Exactly. What Arians is talking about is he didn't have knowledge of the injury flaring back up. That's what they didn't have. So there's going to be a little bit of an investigation here into this whole deal. Yep, so that is that, man. But it's the way it is. Now they saying Bruce Arians denied it that he was injured, and he reiterated it on Monday. He asked if Brown told him he was injured. He said no. Now all this is doing is confirming some of the stuff that I heard from some fans of mine that actually went. All right. So, AB, he just went as far as getting an attorney. Well, he had one. Have one. All right. So, this is Brown's story. This is what I'm saying. Who do you believe? So, the receiver attorney told ESPN that Brown told the training staff and Arians that he felt too hurt to continue in the game. Well, if that was the case, then I don't think Evans would have been pulling you to be out. So, we'll see about that as we read on. So, Brown said that Arians never said. Forget it. So let's go ahead and bring him in because I'm going to be real. Brother needs some help tonight because I was getting ready to tap. You know, Kurt Angle, ankle lock tap. I was getting ready to tap. But we got him on the line, but I tell you one thing I won't do. I won't fall asleep. I won't do that, but we're going to bring him in. Rat Pack Sports Show, NFL, fantasy football, wannabe. Rat Pack Show's on, Mr. William Graves. What's going on, brother?
Oh man, I was actually kind of curious if we had a show. I went to click on the show to see what you were talking about, and music was playing.
Oh yeah, you know, we got started a little bit late. Had a basketball game that started later than usual.
No. So, this was just like 2 minutes ago.
Oh, 2 minutes ago? Nah, brother, we live. I mean, I'm streaming. Oh. Maybe the connection was lost and you came on while it was reconnecting, or you may have caught us on the backside of a music break.
Oh, okay.
But we've been live for about an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah. Well, I apologize about that. I have a pretty big day tomorrow and everything, so really just trying to get stuff ready for that and everything. So I apologize for being late and everything. I'm going for my gaming license tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you was telling us. You was telling us about that.
Well, yeah.
Good luck, brother. So, hope you get them.
Well, me too. It's definitely gonna open up a lot of doors that otherwise wouldn't be open. But I tell you what, man, getting a gaming license, man, that's intense. Man, they want all sorts of information. I was like, man, what are y'all gonna ask for next? My blood type? I mean, man. But so what all have you covered in the last hour?
Just a bunch of gibberish, you know. Talked a little bit about AB. Talked a little bit about some basketball.
As far as right now, AB is still a Tampa Bay Buccaneer.
Yeah,
he has not been released.
That don't mean none. I think that's more of a technicality to keep him from, signing with other teams. That dude would never wear another Buccaneer uniform again. And it looks like AB is going to take us down the same road he took the Raiders down when the Raiders got rid of him. And the Raiders had to go to a little bit of fight to get some of that signing bonus money back. But, hey, AB people, they're saying that he was actually hurt, and
he was. He had an ankle injury.
Yeah, we know that. He had an ankle injury the week before that, where he caught 10 passes. He didn't break his ankle in that Jets game.
Right. I'm just going to put it to you this way. There is a lot that we don't know.
Yeah, and while we figure out what we don't know, I'm going to go with, listen, I know franchises, cover their behind sometimes. And I know sometimes they keep, do things purposeful to keep players from hitting bonuses and stuff like that. But those are major bonuses, like, a few $1 million, $5 million bonus for this, $3 million bonus for that. But what they don't do is what we, saw AB do, and now he's, it wasn't his fault. Blame the Bucks. And we got a lot of Buccaneer fans, and I've been in these groups over the last week. For some odd reason, they got a huge love fest with Antonio Brown. Like, you read them. People are literally saying, AB was our only chance to win the Super Bowl. And I'm like, the reason we won last year was because of Brown. So who threw him the ball?
Brown contributed, but he wasn't the sole reason.
Who throwing him the ball? Can he run? Can he hike the ball, run his route, throw himself the ball, and catch the ball all at the same time?
Man,
like,
look.
I'm trying to figure out. Now I'm finna go on the rant.
And look, Antonio Brown is a talented football player. There's no denying that whatsoever. But this pedestal.
This is entitlement.
I'm trying to find the words for it because
prima donna
pedestal. Man, something.
Prima donna.
Man, look. I mean, look. I like Antonio Brown. I think he's a good receiver. But to say that he was so recent that we won the Super Bowl.
See, some are saying that we had a good shot at repeating with him, but now that he's gone, we don't because Godwin
is
out.
Okay.
Will you?
Look.
Because people being, you know, I give my opinion on the whole situation, and I'm looking at it from a player perspective, not a fan, because I care less about who is dressing, who's not, as long as we got enough healthy players to compete and still win the game. So for me, I'm looking at AB's situation as from a player standpoint, and I don't care what your situation is. The second you do what he did, they ain't no words. Now, you know, Le'Veon Bell, him and they been boys since Pittsburgh. You know, Bell said the right stuff. You know, we boys first. We been boys for a long time. So, you know, I'm going to try to look out for him, you know, as a friend. You know, Brady played the political role and saying what he said, and there's probably some truth to it, but Brady ain't gonna throw none of his guys on under the bus during the press conference. He's never done that. I haven't watched Le'Veon Bell enough to know, but he's usually a quiet person too. So you asking players questions like they're gonna just throw AB under the bus. And they're not going to do that. Real players don't do that. Other players do, but real teammates don't do that. They don't do that. Coaches don't necessarily do that. But this situation here for me is different because from a player standpoint, you quit in a game where we probably could we still won, but – we could have used you, and there's some other stories that's circling around about possibly some outburst that was made during halftime, and it just kind of trickled onto the sideline and into the third quarter, which what led to what we saw. Now, being that me and you are in the Bucs, we're in the Bucs fans groups, and there's some friends of mine that are in those groups, and I know they travel. They don't just go to the home games. They go to the road games. So when this went down, I shot a message to somebody that I knew was there, and they was right on they was the first row on the Buck sideline. And a lot of
that's probably go ahead.
No, I'm gonna say a lot of the rumors that are going around didn't happen. Because there's video proof and these people was close enough to where they can even hear what was being said because it wasn't a normal conversation. It was a more like a AB shouting at the top of his lungs, and Mike Evans and OJ Howard was trying to calm him down. He jumped in Tom Brady's face, said some stuff to Tom Brady, you know, about, you know, throwing Gronk the ball. And listen, you don't do that. And you know what? As a coach myself, Aaron's had every right to tell him, get off my sideline. Whether I don't care that he's a high, you know, we might need him. I don't care that he's talented. I don't care that whatever his excuse is, if you're injured, you was cleared to play. That's number one. You was cleared to play in the game. That's mm-hmm. number one. Number two, if you were re-injured or aggravated the injury, existing injury, during that time of the game, I promise you the TV cameras would have picked up something with AB going to the tent. Oh, I promise you the people that was there would have saw AB talking to the trainers and going into the tent. And I promise you, if that was the case and it was known to Bruce Arians that AB re-aggravated this injury and he is not available for the rest of the game, that he wouldn't have went over there and asked AB to go into the game. So AB is acting on his own right now. Until it's proven otherwise, from all the eyes and all the ears that saw what happened, I don't care what his camp telling people in the media. I don't care that his lawyer is trying to go after the Bucks because they think the Bucks violated some type of safety precautions by trying to force him to play. See, now we dealing with the AB that we saw in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to make the Steelers organization look bad out the door. He went to Oakland. Bill Belichick didn't even give him time. He played two games, caught a couple passes, and Bill Belichick was like, no, we not going there. Cut him before he even had time to start trouble. The Raiders signed him to a huge contract. Didn't even make mm-hmm. it through training camp. 2 weeks in, he was already gone.
Mm-hmm.
Made that organization a mockery for a couple weeks while he was doing all his shenanigans.
Mm-hmm.
Now he come here. If I was a better man, I would have told you it probably would have ended this way because that's what he do. That's just what he do. So now it's the Bucks' turn. You play with fire, you get burnt. I know we had Tom Brady, and people felt like, you know, Tom Brady could keep this guy under wraps. Man, AB don't answer to nobody but himself.
Mm-hmm.
That's well, it.
You know, the thing is that we were kind of looking at a mix between the Raiders situation and the Patriots situation. And what I mean by that is that Bill Belichick, like you said, he didn't even wait for it to start before he sent him out the door. But in a way, Bruce Arians kind of sent him out the door before it escalated. The thing is, it's going to escalate like the Raiders situation now because of the fact that where Bill Belichick didn't wait for that fuse to be lit, Bruce Arians did. And then and there is where the difference is. Now, the thing is that Buccaneers media, Buccaneers PR, they're going to have to get out in front of this. And I mean, it's just a weird situation. Now, again, I don't know that Antonio Brown after this is going to get another shot in the NFL. As soon as Boss Hogg gets on and everything, I actually wanted to ask him about that and everything to see what his take is.
He will.
Oh,
yeah,
Boss
he's
Hogg.
He's here, man. Boss Hogg, Sean Neely is here. He's been on the line. I didn't bring him in yet because I was kind of ranting a little bit, but he is here. Ladies and gentlemen, Rat Pack Sports Show, NFL/fantasy football guru, Boss Hogg, Sean Naylor. What's going on, brother?
Just getting back into the flow of being back at work and just listening to you guys chat about this. You know, it is what it is, honestly. Will he get another chance? Yes.
Somebody would be stupid.
Somebody, supposedly, according to his camp, according to his agent, according to a couple media outlets, supposedly there's 5 or 6 teams right now that would be willing to sign him once he's released by Tampa Bay.
That's crazy. That is crazy.
I get it. You're signing the talent. I get that you're signing the talent. But do you want the cancerous polyp on your organization? That's the question you have to ask.
Some GMs.
But at this point, if you're not a team in the playoffs, you're trying to sign him for next year. You're not going to sign him to a 1-game deal.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, of course.
You're not going to do that.
I would think the 5 or 6 teams that are probably that supposedly are interested in him are probably playoff teams that might be looking for some depth. Otherwise, I don't see him being signed until close to training camp next year.
Right.
Let him get his head straight. Let him have his ankle surgery. Let him have his, let him rehab through his ankle injury and everything. Let him, and then, I mean, the dude, you know, William, you said it, the dude's a talent. And
he is.
And his numbers are Hall of Fame worthy. He's definitely not a first ballot Hall of Famer. There's too many wide receivers ahead of him that need to be in before him.
Yes.
But he is a Hall of Fame caliber wide receiver. And he can thank Ben Roethlisberger for that for 6 years of his career. I don't know what to think, honestly. I mean, I don't know who to believe. I don't know if I should believe Antonio Brown that he was too injured to play and so he didn't want to go back in. I don't know if I should believe Bruce Arians that he wanted to put him back in and Brown, you know, if Brown was too injured to play, you know, I mean, Derek, you brought up the point, you know, if he was in the blue medical tent or if he was in the locker room and they said that he was too injured, then they would have reported to Arians and told him that he was too injured.
Well, you know, they should have.
Yeah,
they should have. It doesn't necessarily mean that they did. The medical staff reported back to Mike Shanahan and told him that RG3 was healthy when RG3 had a torn ACL, a torn PCL, and couldn't walk. cost us a playoff game.
Yeah.
Right. You know, but the thing is that with every story, you have side A and side B, and somewhere in the middle is the truth. So, like you said, are you really believing everything that AB is saying? No. Are you really believing everything that Bruce Arians is saying? No. Because both sides are trying to cover their own tracks. So,
yeah.
Like, I mean, that's just the way I look at it.
Yeah, and no for me, because for me, you know, I'm looking at his historical leverage here. So, as a Buzz fan, we haven't seen anything like this in our organization from a player ever. As bad as we've been in our history, we haven't seen this a player. We haven't had allegations of our medical staff doing these type of things. And I would believe it more to happen for a guy like a Robert Griffin, who's a starting quarterback that just had this freaking historical rookie season and that's got you in the playoffs, opposed to a team for a guy like AB, who you're in the regular season game. This game, it doesn't even matter. You already won your division. You know, you're in the playoffs. You're preparing for the playoffs. So why would you take that risk with a wide receiver when you can just throw somebody else in there like they did after AB, you know, skipped down?
Well, what's his name? What's his name? Grayson?
Yeah.
Grayson? Dude's stepping up.
Listen.
I mean, is he perfect? No, but he's also a rookie.
Yeah, he's a rookie.
Was Scotty Miller put on season-ending IR?
I think so. I think he was.
Yes, he was.
I mean, he hasn't seen him, almost all season throughout any of this.
Yeah.
So I was just curious. Well, I was just curious. But here's what the Bucks need to solve this.
Yeah. Yeah. And
it needs to be solved before you go into the playoffs, because if you're going to have this cloud hanging over your head going into the playoffs, you're a one and done football team.
And
even if you do get this solved, you seriously are. I mean, you could seriously be a one-and-done football team, depending upon who you have to play in the first round.
Right.
I know playoff Tom is different than regular season Tom, and, the Bucks will be a little bit better than
the thing is, going into the playoffs. Oh, go ahead, boss.
I mean, the Bucks defense is what worries me going into the playoffs.
You're not the only one. You know, Devo, I don't know if you saw it, but in one of the groups that me and you frequent a lot, this guy goes, I don't know. He goes, I'm just getting the feeling with this Bucks team is just like our 2002 team. Man, that defense is scary. And I was like, yeah, they're scary. They're scary bad.
Yeah, exactly. They scaring me every time I watch them play.
but I asked him, I said, are you serious? He goes, dude. He goes, we have a fantastic defense. And I was talking to him, and it dawned on me. I was like, dear God, is this really how I sounded to Derek
it
and
sure
Sean?
Did. Yes.
And I was like, and I was like, brother, no, dude, they have good games. They are nothing like that defense. They have good games. They manage to put together okay games, but they're no.
That O2 defense was weekly. That O2 defense was consistent weekly. They came out and they played ball, and they balled out. Every game in and game out. I mean,
yeah, but
they were.
But the thing is that with that defense, you had we've talked about this. We talked about this several times. That defense had people had captains and leaders that were not afraid to take it, to grab you by the face mask and put you in your place. I know Derek saw it because he had season tickets at that time and everything like that. But you had a Derek Brooks or a Warren Sapp out on that field and you messed up. Oh, you were going to hear about it. Believe that. We have somebody maybe kind of like that in JPP, but JPP isn't playing. He's injured. I mean, maybe Ndamukong Suh does something like that, but, and I mean, there's always Labonte David. What's that?
I said Ndamukong Suh will just throw you down and step on you.
Yeah, he will.
Maybe you should play correctly.
The only leader I see on that football, on that defense, is Devin White.
I can't even put
Labonte David as a leader, really.
I'll put Labonte David before I do Devin White.
Yeah.
I could give you that, I guess. I mean, I don't see a true leader on that defense.
There's not a true leader, and that is what they are missing.
The defensive coordinator is not even a leader.
The defensive coordinator,
and that's one of my boys.
You're more than welcome to him.
I don't want him. He hasn't proven anything since he left the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
He was good.
Just saying.
He was, you know, the girlfriend is not here tonight, and she is passed out at home. So, the Jets are an organization where coaches, players go to die. I mean, look what happened to that. Well, I mean, just look what's happened to people. I mean, Todd Bowles was a fabulous, fabulous coach until he became the head coach of the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was. He was pretty good in Arizona.
Now he can't do anything. He was fantastic under Arians in Arizona. He was
fantastic. But the thing is,
under Wisenhunt in Arizona. He was amazing.
But here's the thing. What you are talking about in those years, they were still trying to figure out Todd Bowles' defense. Other teams were trying to figure the defense out. That's the reason he was so successful. Now that they figured it out, Todd Bowles is doing something that separates the great coordinators from the good coordinators. And he's not adjusting. He's not making the right. He's not making adjustments. He's still going out. He's still running the exact same defense that he always has, even though we do not have the personnel to be running that 3-4 defense. do not have that personnel. We don't have it. And he refuses to change.
So, have y'all read this statement yet by AB?
No, I haven't read it yet. But there's another elephant in the room that I want to address with both of you.
What's that?
Where you at, Boss Hog?
Uh-oh.
Boss Hog?
Did we lose him? No, he's still
on. I think
on.
We did.
No, he's still on the line. He might be on mute or something.
I'm here.
Oh,
I'm here.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Fellas, I don't know what y'all were drinking on yesterday, thinking that I wanted a 48-year-old wide receiver
that had played football.
We are going to talk about this. The last time that this man played professional football was like 4 years ago with the Texas Roughnecks or Rowdies or something like that in like some decimated football league.
I think he played in the arena.
Okay. And that was like, what, 4 or 5 years ago? We all know that the arena, we all know the arena league is not the NFL.
We all know why you wanted him.
Yeah. Oh, so he can add another wide receiver to his fantasy team.
Stop crying. You love it and you know it.
Yeah, I do. But here's the thing. This is what I want to ask you guys. Do you guys even think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to even acknowledge him?
No.
Or acknowledge his request?
No.
Because if I'm the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and I want to get a receiver to replace Antonio Brown, I'm looking at the free agent list of players that have played in the last 7 years in the NFL. I'm looking at Julian Edelman's. I'm looking at Larry Fitzgerald's. I'm looking at Marcus Lee's.
Julian Edelman is retired.
Say what?
Julian Edelman is retired.
Yeah, he's gone. He's retired.
But what I'm saying is that I would look at him before I did Terrell Owens.
So they're not going to look at Terrell Owens. They're not going to look at Larry Fitzgerald. They're not going to look at Alshon Jeffrey. They're not going to bring anybody in.
Well, me personally, I don't really see the reason to. We have guys.
I mean, I do. You don't have, outside of Mike Evans, you don't have a consistent wide receiver.
But again, we're talking going back to the rookie, Grayson. Okay. Again, is he a solid number two receiver? No, he's not. But you also got to look at the fact that he's just now got into games over the last couple of weeks after Godwin got injured.
The number two currently on the roster is Johnson.
And you know what? As it should be.
I mean,
if they really feel like they need another receiver to come in because they don't feel that Johnson or Grayson can handle that number two spot, then that's what I'm saying. You know, Marcus Lee, as far as I know, he hasn't been signed by anybody. He did okay with San Francisco last year. Alshon Jeffrey, I mean, he should be good for four games, right? Maybe?
He's so fragile, you touch him with a pencil and he's going to break.
Yeah, but all I'm saying is, guys, Terrell Owens is 48. 48 years old. If he had been playing in the NFL all this time, I would have been like, you know what? Cool. Let's go. And I'm not saying that Terrell Owens is not in shape, because he probably is, because the guy is a freaking workaholic. But there's a difference in working out and then putting on pads and getting out on that field. Because honestly, what my fear is that we're going to sign him. He's going to put on the pads. He's going to get hit one good time in the playoffs, and that's going to be it.
I don't know about that. But
Boss Hogg, the guy is 48.
So Tom Brady's 46.
Tom Brady hasn't taken any time off from the NFL either.
So you still become fragile.
No.
He works out. Terrell Owens works out. Terrell Owens would be able to take a hit in the NFL still at 48 years old. The man is a freak of nature when it comes to physicality. He would be able to withstand, because some of these damn cornerbacks, they don't tackle anyways. They go down low. There's no true tackling anymore in the NFL by corners and wide receivers. Now, Terrell Owens would be, I think Terrell Owens could probably still do it for a set number of games. If you're looking at a three game set in the playoffs, the wild card, the divisional championship, the divisional round, the championship round, and the Super Bowl. If you're looking at, a 4 or 5 week stretch there, Terrell Owens could be fine. I think because he's a physical specimen, because he's a freak of nature when it comes to working out, I think he'd be able to do it for a short period of time. But he brings a circus with him too.
But you know what? It's a different kind of circus.
Well, it's a single tent instead of a three ring circus. Okay, sorry.
Get
your popcorn ready.
Part of me thinks it would be interesting if he actually did suit up with the Bucks. I would be curious, but by the same token, now if we are going to sign him, we need to sign him like now, so that way he can go and at least get one practice game in against the Carolina Panthers, so he can actually learn the playbook.
It's not happening. So,
well, I mean, he when and see, I didn't hear about it until my brother texted me. He goes, "What's up with Terrell Owens?" And I was like, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "He wants to join the Bucs." And I was like, "What? No."
Well, I heard it.
Why?
I heard it Monday as soon as all of this Antonio Brown stuff on Monday. I heard it.
I mean, he sent me the link and everything, and then I got into this group and everything, and this guy was going, he goes, "Well, I have," he goes, there are several people in the Buccaneers organization that says that Terrell Owens is going to be meeting with people as early as tomorrow." And I was like, "Sure he is, because if he was, it would have been all over the news, because you know that as soon as the Bucs said, 'Yeah, we'll meet with you,' Terrell Owens would have had that shit plastered all over the place. You can't tell me he wouldn't."
Yeah. No, he would.
So,
I mean, I don't see it happening. It's fake news, and you just have to roll with who's on your roster. Run with the dogs that bark, that, you know.
That's what I say too. I mean, you know, like I said, but if they were going to bring in another receiver, I just think that there's other people that are maybe better suited. But again,
he
that's just me.
Now too.
Well, yeah, that too. But moving right along, Boss Hog, do you think the NFL is going to move the Super Bowl?
They're exploring options. The Grammys were canceled.
The what?
The Grammys.
They still have those?
Oh, every year. It's still as big as it was back in the day, bro. But they were canceled today.
In
the NFL,
I keep on forgetting, in order to actually be interested in the Grammys, you have to actually have good music. Sorry. My bad.
Sure, you do. But, the NFL is, it looks like the second option would be Texas. The AT&T Stadium would be
Jerry's
the backup
World.
Stadium. Yep, Jerry's World, where when the last Super Bowl was played there, it was a cluster. So I don't know why the NFL would want to go back there, but
me personally, I don't think they should. I don't think they should have it at Jerry's World. I think they should, I think if they're going to move it to anywhere, they should move it to Vegas.
Well, Vegas gets it next year.
Who cares?
Or in 2 years. Not next year, maybe it's 2 years.
Okay, so hopefully in 2 years.
If they should move it anywhere, they should keep it in California and just move it out of L.A. I mean, it's not the whole state of California that's fluctuating with the Abercrombie and Fitch virus. It's just the... It's just Los Angeles. So why not move it down? Why not move it up to why not move it to San Francisco and play in the Levi's Stadium?
Oh, you know what? I mean, that could work. The guy that owns the Rams.
Kroenke,
yeah, there you go. Him and the guy that owns the Chargers. Man, look. They need that money. They need that money because they still have a $1 billion stadium that they've got to get all the money that they can squeeze into it in and everything and all that. Now, I know what everybody's saying, oh, it's not about money, blah, blah, blah. You need to be cautious. Yes. Yes, you do. But here's the thing. They are business owners. They can't just sit there and twiddle their thumbs and let the opportunity of a Super Bowl just kind of pass them by. Now, granted, 9 times out of 10, the NFL will do with Los Angeles what they did with Las Vegas and everything, and they would just move the Super Bowl to another year. But moving it to Texas when Dallas just had their Super Bowl thing for their new stadium not too long ago. You still have plenty of other stadiums that you can actually choose from to do this. Like you said, Levi Stadium, the stadium in Las Vegas. In all honesty, hey, why not move it to Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, the exact same place that the national championship is going to be played. Why not
move it down to Arizona too? I mean, there's all kinds of options.
I mean, you know what though? I know where they should have it. Hawaii.
Yeah, it's not big enough.
Who cares?
The stadium's just not. I mean, you want a stadium that holds at least 85,000, and that stadium doesn't even hold. I think it barely holds 50.
Well, just do what Jerry Jones did at the AT&T Stadium. Just start getting out folded chairs.
Yeah, we saw how that worked.
So,
yeah, I think they're just being cautious. I think it'll actually end up staying in L.A.
Well, I mean, they really need to actually listen to the actual medical community, even Derek's boy, Dr. Fauci, even said that this new variant is highly transmittable, but it's not as dangerous as what the other variants were. Now, not saying don't be cautious, but I'm saying that at some point in time, people are going to have enough of it, and so are some of these owners and everything like that, because they can't keep dishing out money and not getting a return. Sorry. Yeah. It just doesn't work that way. Well, but
completely fair.
But so Boss Hogg, 2-2-22. Big day for you guys.
Yeah. Whoop-de-doo.
Well, you said you have a feeling you know what the name is going to be.
Oh, I know what the name is. I know what the name is. It's not what I want it to be. It's not what I want it to be. It's not what I thought it was going to be, because I did a lot of digging last night when, after I put that in the chat room, I did a lot of research on the name that I thought, Washington Generals, that I thought would be the name. And it can't be the Washington Generals, unfortunately. That name is owned by the Harlem Globetrotters.
So you ask the Harlem Globetrotters.
I think if they would have asked them to, the owner of the Harlem Globetrotters has already said that he would be honored if Washington came and asked him to buy it.